Well, hello. How's quarantine going for everyone?
I'm losing my mind. Up in here, up in here.
Yeah. It's, I cried like four times on Thursday. And then had a little bit of a breakdown.
Sounds like it.
But other than that, I've been fine the rest of the week.
I've been going stir crazy. I don't know about y'all.
Yeah. Same. And, like, it was just exaggerated by, like, terrible PMS. So it was just like, But I'm better now. And I'm trying to deal with the quarantine logically.
Yeah.
KB, how about you?
Well, I am classed as essential. So I still, well, and I live right at work, so.
Yeah.
Here I am. So, it's been okay. The hardest thing is, like, I'm used to seeing my boyfriend every day. And now it's like, no, we've got to be responsible. We're both class is essential, so it's like we've got so many germs and we don't want to be
right,
like, cross-pollinating, yeah, if that makes, no, that sense. Makes sense. Like, so yeah, that's been hard, but it's
yeah,
been okay.
Have y'all done any virtual date?
That's yes, good. Yeah, we've been video calling and we text literally yeah, all the time anyway,
yeah,
so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so quarantine and isolation stuff. I guess I should say welcome to Legendary Lasses. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Sally.
I'm KB.
And today, because of what's going on, we decided we wanted to do something a little bit, what's the word, on topic?
Sure.
Is that the good phrase to use?
Yeah. I'll, yeah.
So we're going to be talking about medieval female physician. I almost said lady doctor, but that wasn't going to be right. Technically, it's right, but you know. Female physician is the phrase we'll go for. And we have some information about that. Sally, who are we talking about?
We are talking about Troda of Salerno. Did I pronounce that right?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
So she's in Italy.
Hey, baby, da baba da boopa.
Okay, this has to be so offensive since Italy is like not doing great with the COVID. She's medieval. Do you have her date of birth?
Nope. I could. There is like everything that I like, all the research that I've been doing. It's just like nothing. Like, we don't have any records on like her birth. Like, she was in Italy, in
right.
This very wide range of time.
Right. So most of the things that I think I looked at said she was probably born in 1050.
Yeah. And then, like, she died in, like, 1090-something.
Yeah, like, 1097 probably. But we don't have, like, an exact date on her. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going pretty far back. So we'll try to keep it as in context as possible, I suppose. But as far as like the big overarching look at what's happening at this time revolves around two words, and I think you both will be just so shocked by these two words. Are y'all ready?
I'm ready.
The church.
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
I'm flabbergasted.
I knew you would be.
I can't believe it.
I know. It's just, it's so astounding that they would be involved during this. So, during the 11th century, all of Italy is still under the title of Holy Roman Empire. But there are, like, skirmishes and battles happening over land and different, like, not colonies, what are they called? Territories, there we go. So the papacy actually stakes its own claim on certain territories.
His
at
own
this
clam?
It stakes a clam.
Clam chowder.
So the papacy stakes its claim on certain territories at this time. Most people are not for it. They're like, what the fuck are you doing? And then there's like certain territories that are like, all right, yeah, we'll stand behind that with you. No problem, Pope. We got your back. But most of northern Italy retains the title of Holy Roman Empire, and that's it. But in southern Italy, different territories become their own principalities. And Salerno is one of those places. One key event that actually happened during Trotta's life was the issuing of a decree by Pope Gregory VII. So in 1075, Pope Gregory announces that only the church can make ecclesiastical appointments. So to put this into context, this would be like the Pope declaring now that like he appoints people of our Congress.
Yeah.
Does that make a little bit of sense?
Mm-hmm.
So if you were the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, how would you all feel about this decree?
Not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't good. And it definitely like struck a match to like this whole dumpster fire of Europe on fire. So by undermining imperial authority, the church is driving a stake into their claim for political power. The increasing disagreements between Gregory VII and Emperor Henry IV would eventually lead to nearly 50 years of civil war in Germany and the excommunication of the emperor himself. Some historians consider this to be the turning point of medieval European civilization and the sole reason that the stage would be set for the political and religious systems of the High Middle Ages. These disagreements would eventually come to an end in 1122, which is past Trotta's lifetime, but it's important. So it's an agreement that is signed differentiating between royal and spiritual powers. It would give the emperor limited power in the selection of bishops, but it's technically a larger win for the papal office at the time.
Like a system of checks and balances. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That sounds like it would be a great idea. If it actually worked.
If it actually worked, it'd be really great. Now, at the height of this disagreement between the Pope and Henry IV, it's when Henry IV is excommunicated. This is more of just like an interesting side little note because it still would have happened in Trotta's lifetime. Mm-hmm. And like it happens in Tuscany technically, but the Pope would actually eventually die in Salerno not long after this.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, I was about to say not checks and balances, a separation of church and state. My bad.
Similar.
Yeah, but that's what I meant.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that sounds like a great idea.
So at the height of their disagreement, and in order to be released from excommunication, Emperor Henry IV stood in penitence outside of a castle where the Pope was staying as a guest. This event is sometimes called the Road to... Are you good?
I'm just imagining, like, in... What is that movie? Is it Say Anything? Where he's
got
like,
the boombox?
Yeah. That's what I'm imagining. Okay. Carry on.
Just playing like time after time. Just like,
if the last time I kept you, I'll keep waiting. Time after time.
Yes, that's what I'm imagining.
I thought it was just someone just like standing out there, just like, hey. Hey.
See, I thought about the Love Actually with the the note cards. So we all had a different image of what this looked like. So this event is sometimes called the Road to Canossa, the Walk to Canossa, or the Humiliation of Canossa. I don't know if I'm saying that right, by the way. Sorry. According to some sources, the emperor was forced to humble himself by bending the knee for 3 days and 3 nights. And some say that this happened during a full rage of a blizzard.
Just like, fuck that. I'm sorry. Can he have like knee pads? Watch, it's like, no, you have to kneel on like grains of rice or cornmeal.
I think he's kneeling on like cobbled stone street.
That still sucks.
Yeah.
What if there's a little pebble thing poking your knee? That's not fun.
There probably was. This would suck for the emperor. Now, I don't want to get too far into this event, because there's a third player who like owns the castle the Pope is staying at this time. And her name is Matilda of Tuscany. And I'm hoping that we'll just revisit this later because she's a fucking beast. A fucking beast, man. So, like, we're going to have to just come back to this. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because I think it's incredibly important here. Because you see the sheer power of the Pope in the church at this time. Mm-hmm. He was able to get the Holy Roman Emperor, the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, rather, to literally beg for forgiveness because it was getting too ridiculous. Like, if that's not a baller move, y'all. So, yeah, that's what's happening with the church at this time. And it's because it's happening during her life, it definitely would have affected her. Mm-hmm. But like I said, the Pope would go on to die in Salerno, where Trotta is, not long after this. So, moving on to, like, more Salerno-based history. I know everyone will be shocked by this as well. But during the life of Trotta from 1050 to 1097, roughly, it was very rare that women would become physician due to the essential banning of women completing education.
Okay, you're talking nuts here, man.
I know. It's just terrible. However, there is the school in Salerno that Trotta attended, and it would be dubbed the most important center for the introduction of Arabic medicine to Western Europe, which is like, she's in the right place, ladies.
Yeah.
This school, coupled with the library at Monte Cassino, which is fairly close to Salerno in location, it provided an unrivaled collection of medical documents that was translated from Greek, Islamic, Egyptian, and other European languages, which essentially meant that Trotta had amazing access to any scholarship that she wanted. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason this became so well stocked and this library becomes a major player in medical history is due to the arrival of another famous medieval medical scholar, Constantine Africanus, or Constantine of Africa. Do you guys know anything about him?
No, I thought you were going to say Pliny the Elder.
Pliny the Elder, sure. No, he's a little older. Plenty. So he's a very well-educated man at the time who travels all over the world collecting medical knowledge and medical scholarship. He translates stuff from, like, just like every language. I think I read somewhere that he knew like 7 Asian languages at the time. He also spoke Arabic, so he could translate from older, like, Islamic documents. I mean, this guy, literally a polymath. Like, he was a genius. So, he arrives in Salerno in 1070 and kicks off the classical period of Italy at this time. Well, in Salerno. And after attending the University of Salerno, he entered the monastery at Monte Cassino. And while there, translated 37 of their library's texts. So his own translation and work would spread throughout Europe extremely fast and would contribute to medical history in a big way. So the fact that Trotta is there at the same time with this person, I mean, like, it's just the right time for her to be there. Mm-hmm. That's kind of all I have that really would revolve around the historical context for her. Do you guys want to talk about her or maybe, like, medical history leading up to this?
Yeah, I figured let's talk about more the medical and midwifery history.
Midwifery.
Yeah. And at this time, they're very separate things, I would say. I mean, you talked a little bit about medical history during the medieval time period. As one might expect, it's not great.
No.
A lot of the time. And Salerno is kind of the exception because it is sort of this place where you get the convergence of all these old Greek ideas that we're being reintroduced to because we now have those Arabic texts that have them translated and things like that. So Salerno's maybe kind of the exception, and they're taking a more practical approach, mixing that with, you know, some African traditions and things like that. But pretty much everywhere else in Europe is just, it's
called the Dark Ages for a reason.
Yeah, well, and the best way I've heard it put is they were doing medicine by the way they thought the body should work and not actually how it did work. Mm-hmm. So they had a lot of different ideas. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about the humor system and things like that. And I know there's still a lot of that going on during Trotta's time. And that's not really how it works. Mm-hmm. There's also this idea of sort of the wandering uterus that is just floating around your body. That's a thing. And
do you want to explain that a little bit?
So basically, at this point in history, and even we get iterations of this all the way up into the 20th century, which is really concerning.
Yeah.
But women's medicine is kind of like a separate deal at this time, and they basically think that anything that's wrong with a lady has to do with her uterus just like floating around in her body. Like, it's not tethered, it's not in place, it's just kind of like on this grand tour of the body and is causing all kinds of issues,
which is like just a weird thing. Like, you guys know babies are born and you know how babies are born. Kind of.
I saw.
Why do you think that the baby's home is just floating around the body?
I saw a thing. It was like a comic, and it was like, oh, I have shortness. He's like, I have shortness of breath. And this one, like, male doctor, male physician's like, oh, your uterus must be up in your lungs. Like,
oh my God. Yeah. Jesus.
So yeah, that's kind of the prevailing thought at this time. And I think part of it has to do with no one's doing like dissections and things like that to actually look at the body and how it's put together for religious reasons. Again, the churches and everything. So that's probably part of it. But yeah, in order to treat this ailment, if you can even call it that, this wandering uterus ailment, they would put like, they could either put like bad smelling things toward your mouth and like force it down, or they could put good smelling things toward your bits and get it to go back where it's supposed to be.
Because, you know, your uterus does have a nose.
Yeah, yes, exactly. That was the thing. It's like, why? It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, so that's kind of just a one example of how medicine works during this time. Mm-hmm. For a good majority of people, they're still working off things like Galen as well, which, if you know anything about like medical history, Galen is not awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's kind of where we are in medical history right now. The practice of midwifery, I've heard it said both ways.
I've heard it say both ways.
It's kind of its own separate thing. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is, again, anything to do with women's health at this time is kind of separate. It's like, oh no, we are men. We don't deal with that. Mm-hmm. So basically, and first off, a lot of the examples of, you know, historical sources we have for this comes from, number one, a little bit later than Trotta is. I saw a lot of things about like the 1400s. And I think that probably has a lot to do with we're coming closer to the early modern period. There's a lot more stuff being written down, but also it's kind of the first time we see midwifery being regulated, mm-hmm. and you sort of have to have a license at that point. Mm-hmm. Rather than prior to that, it's just kind of your mother passes it down to you and you pass it down to your daughter, and it's
the family business.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of them are a little bit later than this time, and also a lot of them have to do with upper class and noble women, because frankly at this point those are the only ones that are deemed important.
Yeah.
So just to kind of give you guys an idea of what would happen when you're about to have a baby at this time.
I'm not ready for it. I'm not ready for this. I just felt my uterus wander around my body.
But what would happen is, it would be almost time for the baby to arrive. You would go to church because, again, the church isn't everything.
And I'm not going to church if I'm going to be in labor soon. I'm not going.
Well, this is like several days prior. Oh, you know, okay. This is this isn't like right as you're going in labor. It's
I don't care. If I know it's coming soon, I'm not getting up and walking my ass to church.
But they would go to church. They would pray. A lot of women sought confession at this time. A lot of them would do their wills around this time. That makes sense. Because childbirth is scary. Like, now it's scary, but at this time particularly, it's like, you could die. And I saw a few different figures for how many women did die during their childbearing years, but any way you slice it, it's far too many.
Yeah.
So,
well, and this is also, like, prior to us really keeping records of stuff like that, right?
Right.
But, like...
I think so, yeah. I mean, we might have records of, like, oh, this noble woman died or whatever, but as far as, like, the masses,
yeah.
I'll say.
Yeah, we wouldn't have, like, clear parish records, for instance.
Right, right.
But it's, yeah, I mean, it's got to be a very high mortality rate.
Yeah, yeah. I saw something like 1 in 3 was one of the numbers.
What?
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Guys, think about this. That means out of the three of us, if one of us had a kid, if all three of us were pregnant having a baby, one of us is dead.
I got to get a date first, okay?
But yeah, just so you know, like, the numbers, it's difficult to know exactly how many, but it's a lot. So they were preparing themselves spiritually, they were preparing themselves legally for the eventuality that they would just die during this process. So that's kind of what happens before, and then when they're getting ready to have this baby, you know, in the days before, basically they would go into a laying in period. And so they go into their room.
That's the period I want to be in. I'm not going to. I'm laying in, period.
Exactly. So you go into your room. Basically, you have your friends, your midwife, all that, like, people around you, supporting you. A lot of times they would put tapestries over the windows. There's one window kind of open that lets in the fresh air and a little bit of light, but they were afraid, you know, oh, if there's too much light, it's gonna hurt her eyes or something like that. So they put tapestries on the walls and they just kind of want it to be, you know, sort of a dark, warm, womb-like environment to make the transition better from, like, you know, this baby's in you, and then it comes out, and it's still just sort of, like, dark and warm and cozy.
That sounds really nice.
Yeah. Except for the, like, painful, terrible childbirth part.
Yeah. Other than that.
That part I could do without.
Yeah.
However, because, again, at this time, too, there's no real painkillers, and we're still under the assumption that, like, oh, women have to deal with this pain because Eve fucked up, basically.
Yeah.
And so they deserve this, is the prevailing thought.
Go listen to our Lilith episode.
But yeah, so that's kind of the process of birth. As far as what midwives did, a lot of it is just kind of supporting the mother. They've had all these years, all these women, like, it's, again, that kind of passed down knowledge. And it's also much more practical than what we see medicine otherwise being during this time. Because, again, it's not about, like, oh, here's what we think is happening with the body in our, like, theoretical medicine world. It's kind of like, here are the herbs that work, you know? And with that comes kind of this thread of, it's a little bit magic-y, witchcrafty, which is interesting, because at this time, obviously we've talked about it a lot, it's the church isn't everything, but there's also sort of, Christianity is still very much, like, it's very tied to magic at this point, and the idea of, like, these magical things being able to work. So it kind of crosses into that territory a lot when we're talking about midwives and what they're doing.
I kind of wonder, though, if it's more... Because it is, like, passed down knowledge, it seems like if we're looking at it from, like, our perspective now, it's more folk medicine that other people look at and are like, you're doing witchcraft.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, fool. Like, I just deliver babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's herbs involved. There's sometimes they would use, like, gems and things, like, you know, stones. That's a part of it as well. So just anything like that that they think is going to help this mother deliver. There were also times where, and this is, you know, pre-Reformation and all that, obviously. We're still Catholic. And so there's a lot of relics being used, you know, different crosses and things, saints' relics, what have you. And mothers a lot of the time are just praying. And that to be honest, that's probably what I would be doing too, is just, please let me come out of this alive.
Yeah, same.
So yeah, here's a fun fact too. Midwives are the only women that are allowed to administer baptisms during this point. Yes, they gave them, like, because usually you have to have the priest and the whole deal, but the thought is, you know, because at this time, if you were not baptized, you still had original sin, which meant that you went to hell.
Right.
And so they couldn't deal with the thought of, like, their babies, you know, if they were born and they were very close to death, of course they didn't want them to go to hell. And so they allowed midwives to baptize these infants. And there are some reports even of, like, they're not even all the way out. Like, they have just crowned, and as soon as they see the head, like, they are putting the water on them, like, baptizing them, because they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
So that's something interesting as well. There's kind of this mix in the role of the midwife, and as well as in, you know, other types of medicine, too. There's a mix of sort of, like, practical magic-y stuff, religion. It's a really interesting field around this time. So that's kind of just an overview for you guys of what's going on in medicine and midwifery around this time.
It's really interesting to me that, like, honestly, at this time, like, reading reports of delivery honestly reads like a battle scene. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just very interesting to me that you could have this, like, juxtaposition of, like, men waging war and the women are at home, but, like, at home they're trying to deliver babies, and it's kind of their own battles and wars. I just think that's a really interesting thing.
Yeah. Well, and at this time a lot of pressure is placed on women to, particularly noble women, to have children, but not only children, but, like, heirs. You need to produce my male heir is kind of the expectation,
unless you're Queen Christina's father.
Yeah. He's kind of the exception rather than the rule, I would say. But yeah, and there's sort of this view that, like, women's, you know, reproductive parts are like men's that are turned inward.
Yeah.
So, like, they're not complete, or they're, like, lesser than or whatever. And it's their role to create men for the future, I guess. Which is,
I just almost vomited.
Gross. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of the backdrop to what we're talking about as far as medicine, midwifery, the role of women, all of that at this time. Oh, God. And for many centuries, it's not just this one particular century, you know, it's through several centuries that this kind of continues to be the expectation and the practice, and, yeah.
I mean, I feel like even in Jane Austen, you have this, she can have an heir and a spare, and then yeah, she's done yeah. her duty, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, that even continues past Jane Austen, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeez. I feel like I need a shower.
Yeah.
I feel gross. Okay, tell me about Trotta, because I need something good.
Okay. So, as we said before, she's considered one of the first world's first gynecologists. And as KB said earlier, medieval medicine was a series of theories on how the body should work and losing contact with how it actually did work. And Trotta wrote about not what ought to work, but what actually did work.
Yeah, because she's a boss.
Yeah, she's like, yeah. And you can see those writings and stuff in a series of books called the Trotula or Trotula. She wrote one of those books. It's a series of three books. One part is like just a straight up kind of certain procedures just because it fit nicely with it. Was a lot of like that the theories like this is what should work on our bodies. Here's what in more of like, here's what seems to work. Yeah. Then the second section is called On Treatments of Women. There's some theory, but more of just like, here's what seems to work. Like, does your sweat stink? Bilberry leaves seems to clear that up. Are you experiencing swelling in your vagina after sex? Take a bath infused with these leaves. And that helps. Do you live in a restrictive society where your entire hope of happiness lies in being declared a virgin where you know perfectly well you aren't one? Here are some herbs that might help trick your prospective husband into believing you are. You know.
What?
Just lady stuff.
Just lady secrets.
Lady secrets. I read that in an article, and I hope that was a joke, but
I don't think it is.
I suspect that it's not, though. And so these books, like or the Trotula, it exists in 126 manuscripts over four centuries, meaning that it was one of the most widely distributed medical texts of the medieval period.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, one of the works, it consisted of 63 chapters pertaining to the special issues of women's health.
That's more than we have right now.
Yeah. And a lot of it was just to educate male physicians about the female body, because they didn't know, they knew very little at the time. And a lot of her works were more about, like, medical advice, like conception, menstruation, pregnancy, cesarean sections, childbirth. And then she also just gives, like, general advice for, like, treating snake bites, curing bad breath, also lightening freckles. Like,
she could do it all. Yeah. I was reading somewhere that she had, like, I don't know if it was, like, an entire chapter or something, but, like, dedicated to aesthetic beauty for women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is so, like, radical that she's like, okay, here's your baby health stuff. Take care of yourself. But then, girl, you all look good, too. Hell yeah. Let's talk about lipstick.
Yeah. And she had very radical ideas on conception for the time. She believed that, shocker, hope you're sitting down. She believed that men and women both have physiological defects that cause conception difficulties. The woman may have a defect on the womb, and the man may have a defect on his seed or his delivery. And shocker, in her time, it was very unusual to.
It could never be his fault.
Could never be his fault. Well, it's like in *Handmaid's Tale*, where mm-hmm. it was like, was it what the main
the
dude?
Commander Waterford?
Yeah, the commander, like he's
barren.
Yeah, like everyone knew. The wife knew. Like, they're like, he's shooting blanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they all thought it was the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it was the dudes who were sterile.
Yep. So
The Handmaid's Tale is really good, you guys.
It is. It is very good.
I started rewatching it because I hate myself.
Ah. I've been watching Tiger King.
Yes.
Carol did it. Carol killed her husband, that's all I'm gonna say.
Oh gosh.
Anyways, so there's a big this is a big shocker that Trotta had very radical opinions on healthcare for her time.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So like KB was saying earlier, that she believed that women shouldn't suffer unrelenting pain during childbirth. She actually advocated the use of opiates produced by plants to dull the pain, which, like, probably not the best thing.
Honestly,
but, like,
though, like, but, if like, I'm giving but birth at that time.
But yeah, like, in for the time, like, she's exactly like she's going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And then she, like, obviously this contradicted Christian beliefs that that women should suffer the pain of childbirth because of the sin of Eve. Whatever. And then I also was reading one article. I don't remember which one it was, but it says women were seen as weak, inferior, and more susceptible to disease. For this reason, Trotta believed that women have special medical needs that can only be investigated and treated by a woman.
You know what? I was mad. But I you know what? Trotta can investigate all she wants.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm not going to lie. Like, when I look for new doctors or something, like, when I look through my insurance's website, like, I make sure I check, like, gender. I was like, woman, please. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, one, I just feel, especially if I'm going to go to, like, a gynecologist, like, I just feel more comfortable around a lady.
Yeah.
And I would if I went to go see a male gynecologist. Not being sexist or anything. It's just, like, my comfort dictates that I would prefer to have a lady.
Yeah.
But like, even when I look for a general practitioner, I tend to look for a lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same.
One time I lived in a town that only had male gynecologists, and I was like, oh, God. And it ended up being fine. Actually, he is probably the, like, there were still some issues I had with him, but, like, the least bad of my gynecological experiences.
Yeah. You know what? I also want to say that, like, just because I prefer to have a female physician doesn't mean I haven't had my own problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're not perfect. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. It's just solely based on my comfort level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
'Cause, like, I could tell you some stories about the doctors that I've had.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So, going back to Trotta, if that wasn't crazy enough, so when she was training students, she trained them to, like, shocker here, this is going to be crazy.
Okay, I'm going to prepare myself.
She trained her students to observe their patients and, like, examine them thoroughly to, like, prescribe them proper treatment.
What?
No. Ashley,
I'm just going to start bleeding them because they're overdosed on bile humor.
Wait, there's more. There's more. She taught them to listen to their patients and ask questions about their ailments.
I will never.
Yeah. She recommended her patients take herbal remedies, soak in warm baths, and rest to aid in the healing process. And hope you're sitting down for this. She believed that people should eat a balanced diet, exercise regularly, live a low-stress lifestyle, and she advocated cleanliness. Like, this...
Bitch, I don't got time to take baths.
But, like...
I mean, but honestly, though, this is, like, so controversial for the time.
Yeah. Exactly, because, like, she's promoting not only health, but wellness. Mm-hmm. Which, like, they both go hand in hand with each other. And for the time, like, this is radical.
I mean, it's radical. That's the only word for it. Like, it would have been unthinkable to other people around her time.
Like, for the time, people are advocating bloodletting. Yeah. And leeches were very valid treatments.
Well, and, like, so, we kind of already talked about the humor system before, but, like, you could have like four different humors. Mm-hmm. And like you could just have more than what was normal, quote mm-hmm. unquote, to have of one of them, and that would mess you up according to them. Like, what humors, you guys? Like, I've got, listen, my tummy hurts. Give me something for it. Don't tell me that I have an excess humor. I mean, I'm funny, but don't. Like, my tummy hurts. Can you imagine going to a doctor and then being like, oh, you have excess bile humor. I'm just gonna put a leech on your tummy.
Yeah.
Like, that's bizarre to me.
Mm-hmm. And so obviously with Trotta having these radical thoughts and making waves through medicine and midwifery, by the mid-1500s, they were no longer allowed to study at universities. And, like, a lot of historians debated whether she was a woman or even if she existed.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Some people thought that, like, her manuscripts were, like, attributed to a man, and the name was a pseudonym. But then, later on, research was done, and scholars believed that she was indeed a woman. She did exist. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, was a pioneer for not only just, like, health, but, like, kind of, you know, women's health and obstetrics and, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did I read right that, I think I read somewhere that her work was only confirmed in the 1990s?
I think so.
Like, that is outrageous to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I read that, like, the research started to be done in the 80s, but it was only confirmed, like, mid-90s.
That's bonkers.
Which is, like, that is so long for people to be like, oh, no, that had to have been a dude.
Yeah.
Well, but like, this happens a lot. We, rather yeah. than even considering that women might have done something, we'll say, oh no, it was a man. Or, like, people are more because willing to consider that knowledge. It was aliens before they will consider that it was a woman.
You know what I have no speculation about? Is that Carol didn't kill her husband. That's what I have no speculation about. Like, she did kill him.
Hot take from the Ashley Corner. I want to make a show that goes on the History Channel, and it's just going to be called Ancient Women, but it's just going to be, like, ancient aliens.
Yeah.
So, like, all of the outcomes is, like, who built the pyramids? Ancient women.
Yes.
And then I'm we gonna just have, like, that yeah, George guy. Hair, and
aliens. I'm
ancient women.
Yes.
That's my hot take for this episode.
I think it'd yeah. be good. Yeah, that's all I have on Trotta. Does anyone have anything else?
I can't wait till we know more about her. I don't know if we ever will because of records and stuff, but
I think what's interesting to me is we have all these manuscripts that are advocating for things that are good that we know would have progressed medicine, and they were obviously widely distributed. Mm-hmm. But yet we continue with this system of, like, bloodletting and leeches and humors for centuries and centuries and centuries afterward.
Oh, yeah.
And that really irks me. I'm like, you won't listen to these people. And for her in particular, this woman, you won't listen to. But you will continue to just take the word of, you know, this theoretical nonsense, you know, and continue to utilize that as if it is practical advice, as if it is true.
Right.
So. Well,
and that's why I'm so fascinated by medical history. I think because at some point overlaps, like, history of, like, the witch trials, right? But, like, also, you have this focus on European medical history
mm-hmm.
that completely ignores any Middle Eastern traditions, African traditions,
mm-hmm.
women, like, it's just bonkers to me that you have a whole, like, continent that's dictating how medical history is going.
Yeah.
When you have everyone else doing different things that seem to be working, rather than, I don't know, making your victim bleed out. I said victim. I meant patient.
We knew what you meant, Ashley.
Same thing. It's the same thing.
I'm very fascinated by medical history, and I can't recommend Sawbones enough. But
yeah.
Yes.
I love you, Dr. Sydney McElroy. You're my hero. But I think it'll be interesting revisiting this when we talk about the witch trials.
Because it's a lot of that same thing that contributes to it is these women who pass things down from mother to daughter and have this knowledge, but then people think that it's evil somehow.
Yeah. Also, like, I know, I'm sure we'll talk about this again in our witch trial episodes, but I was revisiting some of my books on, like, folk medicine as perceived as witchcraft. And I can't get over the fact that, like, some people were killed because they were talking to animals and they just assumed it was a witch's familiar.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what if I'm petting a dog and telling the dog that it's a perfect angel?
He's your familiar.
Am I a witch?
Yes.
Do you know how dead... woman, see how high she flies.
Do you know how dead we all would be?
Oh, yeah. I would just be talking to all the dogs, telling them that they're perfect. And they're just like, she's a witch. And I would just lean into it to be like, ooh, ooh, witchy woman.
There's literally a Jacobean play about that. Well, and it's amazing.
I think it, because as we know, like, women and specifically older women were targeted a lot. And I'm just thinking of, like, what if you're this lonely older woman living sort of on the outskirts of the village, kind of in the woods, you're alone. Like, who are you going to talk to other than your five cats? You
know, which, like, I mean? Oddly enough, would that same person would usually be, like, the town healer.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's like you have, like, this, like, perfect mix of stuff. Like, we'll revisit this, but yeah, it's like the perfect mix of, like, I'm a healer, I know folk things, and I'm alone, so I'm going to talk to animals. Of course I'm going to talk to animals.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I'd rather talk to animals than y'all motherfuckers.
Yeah. Y'all pettiness.
Petty bitches. No, you're just coming around because you got a little sniffle. No. I'm going to talk to this dog, because you know why? They love me, and I love that dog.
That's true.
They're so sweet. And his cute little face.
Literally me. Y'all, I saw a bat outside my house the other night.
Oh, gosh.
Did you eat it?
No. I was trying to make friends with it. I was going to name it Bartok, like in Anastasia.
Yes.
And then my crow friend showed up, too.
Which one?
Edgar and Poe. I haven't seen Alan yet. So.
What if
he'll be back. I can always hear him. He's the loud mouth. So. But yeah. I love my crow friends. I need to put food out for them. But this got off really off topic. I don't know how I started talking about
this. I don't think
this.
It went off topic, Ashley. You're talking about talking to animals.
Oh, yeah. I did say good morning to them. Because, of course, I did. It's Edgar and Poe. You have to say good morning to them.
Mm-hmm. I talked to my brother's dog. My brother and his girlfriend's dog that got a puppy. She's very cute. She's very cute. Her name's Lola. And she has my heart. Like, she's got these huge puppy paws.
Love that.
She's going to be a big dog.
Does she still have puppy tummy?
Yes, she does.
Ooh, this is my favorite. Does she still smell like a puppy? That's my favorite.
She still smells like a puppy.
I just want to hold a baby puppy. I don't want another dog. I just want to hold a puppy. But anything else you want to say about this?
Wash your hands.
Yes.
Yeah, please, everybody, wash your hands.
For 20 seconds.
Stay safe.
Take Trotta's advice. Be clean.
Take a bath, y'all.
Yeah.
Take a bath.
Okay, don't give me that advice. You're not my dad. You're not my real dad.
You're, like, not my dad, so later. Later, dog. Okay. Is that it, then?
Yeah.
All right. I think so. Who wants to do our outro?
I'll do it.
Yeah, I think KB has the best voice for it today.
Okay. Yeah! So I'm gonna just, if I do it, I'm gonna talk like this. Like I'm gonna Tiger King documentary.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. This has been Legendary Lasses. If you want to get in touch with us, we do have an email. It's legendarylasses@gmail.com. You can send us any of your suggestions, people you want us to cover, any ideas or opinions you might have. We welcome that for sure. If you want to get in touch with us on social media, it's @legendarylasses on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that. We do also have our website, and it's legendarylasses.wordpress.com. And we have some of our, you know, information there about past episodes, things like that. If you do feel so inclined, you can also donate to our podcast. That's anchor.fm/legendarylasses, and there is an option to contribute if you feel like doing that.
I will say that you should also consider contributing to COVID-19 relief as well.
Yes, definitely.
And it might be a better idea for you to do that now instead of donating to us. Although we will take your money if you want.
Yes, after this has passed and you're coming back to listen to this episode, then donate to us. But for now, definitely COVID-19 is a lot. What else? We do have several platforms where you can listen to us. If you are using one like Apple Podcasts, anything like that has a rating system, definitely give us a rating and a review. We really appreciate that. That's very good for us to know what we're doing right, what you guys like, what you don't like, things like that. Is there anything else I'm missing?
I don't know. Honestly, I have to pee so bad that I can't think about it. You guys, I finished a full mason jar of water and this huge old coffee mug of coffee during this episode. I have to pee so bad.
Okay, before the dam breaks.
I'm doing my potty dance in my chair.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, thank you guys so much for listening. Now, go out, make waves, change history, and stay legendary.
And kick some ass!
Woo! Stay safe, everybody. Wash your hands and stay home while we're all in quarantine.
Watch for the recommended 20 seconds, and you can sing the chorus of Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears.
Or you can do Lafayette's rap from Guns and Ships.
Okay, well, I don't know that because I'm not talented enough to do that.
Well, and just remember that the more we quarantine now, the less time we have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, stay safe, everybody.
Stay safe.
We love you all.
Pie's better than cake.
Well.
Okay. It is.
Bye.
Bye.